Philippians chapter number one, really looking forward to preaching this message today out of Philippians chapter number one. The title of the message is Where Happiness is Found. Where Happiness is Found. Philippians chapter number one, we're going to read verse 21 through 27. Great singing today. I sure appreciate that song, the ensemble sang. Weren't you encouraged by that? I am determined. I will be faithful. What a great song. Philippians chapter number one, look at verse 21 with me. Paul, the apostle, of course, here is writing. He says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Can we read that together? Ready to begin? For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. What a great verse. Paul goes, labor, yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am straight betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for the furtherance, for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Look at verse 27. This is a very powerful verse. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together, not with each other or against each other, but striving together for the faith of the gospel. I want to ask a big question today, and the question is this: can happiness be found? Can happiness be found? In a world of turmoil, is there real happiness available to us? As we look to the Bible today for answers, may I just say right on the top, I have good news. There is plenty. I said there is plenty of happiness available to the Christian. No matter who you are, where you're from, if you've been a lifelong Christian today, or you're unsaved, maybe you don't know Christ, or salvation is new to you, may I say this, that happiness is available to you. I want to preach a simple message today. Only 2 points. Where happiness is found. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, rid our minds of the many distractions that come with a service like this, whether it's a cell phone or whatever, our stomachs being hungry, thinking about lunch, whatever. I pray, God, that you'd help us to push all those things aside and concentrate on your word. Encourage us today. Help us and remind us today where our true happiness is found. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Everybody wants to be happy. In one way or another, we're all searching for happiness. Whether it's that perfect job or that perfect house, or maybe it's that magical feeling that comes with a new relationship. Perhaps it's the feeling of peace as you sip your iced tea while swinging from your porch swing. Everybody wants a little slice of heaven on earth. Everybody wants their little slice of happiness. We know companies that make billions of dollars selling happiness. I think about Disneyland, dubbed the what? Happiest place on earth. How many have ever been to Disneyland? How many have found it's not the happiest place on earth? There's some nice things about Disneyland, and I've taken my kids there, and of course, it's there's some fun you can have there, but may I just say this, it better be the happiest place on earth for the price. Companies have built huge fortunes on selling happiness. As a matter of fact, this company called Cost Helper Travel Services says this, a typical week-long vacation for just a family of four to Disneyland in Anaheim will run you about $5,731. If you've been to Disneyland, you know that's probably cheap. People don't seem to mind, though, because an average of 45,000 people visit Disneyland every single day. The simple truth this morning is you cannot find real happiness at Disneyland. It's a temporary feeling. You cannot find real happiness in a relationship. Those feelings come and go. You cannot find happiness in a new job or a house or a car. All these things can be wonderful. And yes, I realize some of them are gifts from the Lord. But at the end of the day, we must recognize that life is not a steady stream of good times. In life, there is up and downs. Much of life is learning how to deal with problems. Much of life is learning how to roll with the punches, living with pain. While the world preaches that life should always be good and television touts that, hey, there's no need to suffer pain, just download the app, pop the pill, or buy the product for instant relief. We recognize today that, and most have figured out, that there's no app for life. There's no pill big enough. There's no product good enough to bring real, lasting joy and happiness. You say, but Pastor, you said that there is happiness available. And yes, there is. The question is where? Two places today I want to share with you. Number one, happiness is found in a person. It's found in a person. Look at what Paul says in Philippians chapter number 1. Look at verse number 1. Look at what Paul tells us. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints of Jesus Christ, which are at Philippi with bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident, verse 6, in this very thing, that he, Jesus Christ, which begun a good work in you, that's the work of salvation, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We know that Paul is writing this book of the Bible, Philippians, from a jail cell. I remember when I was a kid, I don't know where this came from, but when I was a kid, remember pastors used to say this all the time? Brother Hall, you probably remember this. Would you rather be here or would you rather be in jail? No in between, you know. Would you rather be in this or Cracker Barrel? No, it's just jail, you know. But Paul's literally sitting in a jail. AD 61 is a Paul, the prolific missionary, the pastor, the evangelist. He's been captured by the Romans. He's in prison as a political troublemaker. And as Paul sits in his prison cell, he writes to this church, apparently not to deal with sin as he did in Corinthians and as he did in Galatians and Ephesians. He's writing to express his joy as he sits in a jail cell. He talks about how happy he is for most people today, including many Christians. There's a false sense among us that with change in circumstance comes a change in happiness. The grass always seems much greener, but how many figured out it's painted? It's fake. It's artificial turf. If we are to find true happiness in our life, we must first start with a very important principle today. And here's the principle. Catch this, please. There's a very weak relationship between circumstances and happiness. There's a very weak relationship between circumstances and happiness. I've known people in some of the worst circumstances, but somehow still have joy, think Paul in the prison. And then I've known people who've had great circumstances, but have been miserable, think people at Disneyland. Amen? If circumstances made people happy, then why do so many famous, wealthy people end their own lives? I think about Robin Williams, the famous comedian and actor. Heath Ledger, the famous actor. Ray Combs, a former game show host. And hundreds of very wealthy businessmen, sports figures, actors, YouTubers, singers, and the like, who have seemed to have everything going for them in their life. Fame and fortune and houses and relationships. And yet they end it all. Why? Because they have not figured out that happiness is in a person. It's not found in our circumstances. That person is Jesus Christ. Amen. As we search for happiness from day to day, let us remember there's only one way. Only in Jesus can happiness be found. Only in Christ does true joy abound. All the houses, fame, and money made, along with this world, will quickly fade. Only in Jesus can happiness be found. Only in Christ does true joy abound. Letter A, there's peace in this person. There is peace in this person. Paul says in verse 2, grace unto you and what? Peace. Somehow, while sitting in a dank, dark prison cell with rats running around, emaciated from not being able to eat, between two Roman soldiers any day now looking to have his head removed, somehow Paul writes to this church and says, grace and peace. Why? Because he figured out that grace and peace was found in a person. Several times in Scripture, Paul lists the struggles of his ministry, beatings, imprisonment, hunger, shipwreck, the care of the churches. And in the middle of the trial, Paul finds peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you take your Bibles? Go to Philippians chapter 4, just a few pages over in your Scriptures. Philippians chapter number 4. Look at what Paul says in verse 4. of Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know the song, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, rejoice. How many of you have ever sang that before? Can you imagine Paul singing that in prison? Rejoice in the Lord always. Thank you for this cup of goop that I get to eat. Rejoice in the Lord. Oh, tomorrow my life might be gone. Rejoice in the Lord. Oh, even though I can't see the light of day and it's dark in here. He's saying, rejoice. Look at verse 5. Let your moderation be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the what? Peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If there's one thing that we need today more than anything, is that God keeps our hearts and our minds in peace. Amen. We live in such a weird time. So many crazy things going on. So much malarkey and baloney out there. And yet, we see what's happening in our country. By the way, we're going to celebrate the 4th of July next weekend, but we love our country. I'm not ashamed to be an American. I'm not ashamed of that flag. And I'm thankful for the men and women who died for this country. And I feel sorry for those who don't know their history because they're doomed to repeat it. Next week, we'll talk more about that. But all I want to say about that today is, listen, all these things happening in our country and all these things happening in our lives, we need Christ. We need Him. Aren't you glad you know Him today? Aren't you glad you can look out your window and see what's happening out there and have peace in your heart? Amen. Hey, you can swing from your porch all you want. There's no peace found there. It's only in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can prepare all you want. There's only peace found in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can take as many pills as you want. There's only peace found in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can have the best position. You can have the most prosperity. You can gather all the possessions. You can have the immense prominence. You can have as much popularity as you want. You can have all the potential in the world, but there's no peace found there, only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Only in the Lord Jesus Christ do we find peace. Peace that passes. I don't understand why Christians are wringing their thumbs and wiping their sweat and trembling at what's going on in the world today. We know our Lord Jesus Christ. He has not changed one minute. We have peace in Him. We have peace in Him. We have peace in the Lord today. This peace is found in a person. Let's say that together. This peace is found in a person. Ready to begin? This peace is found in a person. It's in a person. It's in Jesus Christ. Listen, listen, I love my church. Don't get me wrong. I love this place more than, I love it. I'm giving my life to this place, but my peace isn't here. My peace is in Him. I love my kids and I love my wife and I love my parents and I love my friends, but my peace isn't found in a relationship. It's in Him. My kids may grow up and disappoint me. My wife may try to kill me. I'm just kidding. My peace is found in Him. And all God's people said, amen. Our peace is not in this temporary and in this world. It's in Christ. There's a peace in a person. Letter B, there is a performance in His promise. Look at what Paul says in verse 6. Being confident in this very thing. Oh, what a good work. What a good work. He's begun that work in you. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I know there's a lot of doctrinal things in that verse, but here's the thing. This is just the beginning. You say, well, Pastor, life is hard and I got bills to pay and this and that. And yes, that's true. There's struggle in this world today, but the best is yet to come. Amen. There's going to come a day. Brother Asprelli, there's going to come a day when I'm going to look Jesus full in the face and I'm going to get on my knees before Him and I'm going to thank Him for everything that He's done, and He's going to wipe all the tear, not just from my eye, but for every single person who's ever been saved from their eyes, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hey, the best is yet to come. I know happiness is a fleeting moment now on earth, and I understand that life is a little bit of a roller coaster, but just hang on, because the best is yet to come. The greatest days for the Christian are yet ahead. We haven't even scratched the surface of the joy and the happiness and the peace and the wonderfulness of Christ. There's going to come a day when we'll live with Him forever. I love what Matthew Henry said here. He said, we may be confident and well persuaded that God not only will not forsake, but he will finish and crown the work of his own hands. As for God, his work is perfect. The work of grace will never be perfected till the day Jesus Christ appears, when he shall come to judge the world and finish his mediation. Then this work will be complete, and the top stone will be brought forth with shouting. There's going to come a day when the head of the corner shall come with a shout, and he's going to rule and reign on earth again. And may I say, that's going to be a good day for the Christian. Amen. The Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Bible tells us that eternity is all about that person. Revelation 5:13, every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, unto the Lamb forever and ever. There's happiness in this person. And then lastly today, there's happiness, number two, happiness found in his purpose. In his purpose. As my dad always used to say when he'd preach a message, he'd say, now this is where the rubber meets the road for us. I don't know about you, I'm not ready to check out yet. There's some work left to do. Christians, it's not time for us to check out yet. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. We got work to do. We have some things to do. Look what Paul says here in Philippians chapter number 1, verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. Notice what he says, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. Some of you need to stop looking at the news every morning and get up in the morning and say to the Lord, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. I don't live for that job. I live for Christ. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul says, my earnest, that means my most important expectation, the most hopeful thing in my life is that Christ is magnified in my body. You know what he's trying to say? Is that if they come tomorrow and they cut my head off, or they saw me in half like they did Isaiah, or they tie me to the end of a cow and have me, a horse, and have me drug through the town because I believe in Christ like they did many martyrs, I want my body to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. I want my life to magnify him. The most important thing to me, Paul says, is that Christ is honored. He is glorified. He is lifted up. I love what Paul says here. He says, I figured out my purpose. C.T. Studd wrote a poem. He said, two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart and from my mind would not depart. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one life. Soon with its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day, my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Think about what Paul's saying here. From a prison cell, he found happiness. Do you know why? Because he found his purpose. He found his purpose. Letter A, purpose is present in any place. If you have a purpose, it's present with you no matter what happens, in any circumstance. Look at Philippians 4:11. Let's go there. Philippians chapter number 4, if you're not there. Look at verse 11. Paul says this. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be what, church? Content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I've seen sports figures use that phrase, and I'm glad they're using Bible verses, but listen, God didn't intend for that verse to mean I can score a touchdown through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's not the purpose of that verse. The purpose is whether I'm sitting in a prison cell or whether I can't rub two sticks together because I'm so broke, or whether I can't get out of bed because I'm so sick, or whether nobody agrees with me or not, or whether my wife thinks what I'm doing is good or not, or whether my kids forsake me or not, or whether I have any friends or not, no matter what state I am, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul said, no man stood with me, all men forsook me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Oh, listen, if you're looking for happiness today in a circumstance, my friend, you're going to live your life very disappointed. But if you find your happiness in a person, and if you find your happiness in his purpose, you can live every day in happiness because you're living out purpose for your life. It's present in any place. For most of us today, if we lost our job, we'd be in the dumps. For most of us today, if our boyfriend broke up with us, we'd want to commit suicide. For most of us today, if our kids don't turn out the way we want, we'd be depressed. For most of us today, if something bad happens, we'd be hurting. But here's the reason. Here's the problem. Our happiness is misplaced. Our happiness isn't dependent on these things, but our happiness is in the purpose of Christ. Amen. Our happiness isn't found in family. I love my family. I love spending time with my family, but that's not where my happiness is found. Joseph found happiness in serving God without his family's support. Happiness isn't in friends. Paul said, "Oh, no man stood with me." Happiness isn't familiarity. Daniel purposed in his heart to serve God in a foreign country. Happiness isn't found in freedom, by the way. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were bound and cast in the fiery furnace. They figured out how to be happy in the Lord. Happiness isn't in fame. John the Baptist said, I must decrease and he must increase. Happiness isn't in financial security. Paul said, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Our joy, our strength, and our happiness is not found in all of these things, but in a person and in a purpose. I want to ask you a question. This is going to make some of you very uncomfortable. But if they came in and they told us we weren't allowed to have church anymore, and we had to figure out a way to have church underground, would you even come? Yeah, right, brother. Come on. Would you even come? Let me ask you a question. If you couldn't do the things that you want to do, are you still going to have happiness in the Lord? Our happiness isn't based upon what's around us today. It's not based upon our job. It's not based upon money. Our happiness is in Christ. Paul was sitting in a prison cell for preaching the gospel. And he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, now I fall so short. Anybody else with me? I complain when I have a hangnail, brother. Come on. I'm telling you, I know I fall short. But happiness is found in his purpose. Pastor, that's the problem. I can't seem to figure out what God wants me to do. Sometimes people come to me and they say, Pastor, I don't know what to do with my life. Sometimes circumstances change and, you know, the kids move out of the house or they lose a job and they have a struggle. I want to help you a little bit here. I'm not talking about specific, you know, some people, you know, what college should I go to? Who should I marry? Those are all specific issues. Let me give you a general thought here this morning on what our purpose is for our life. Look at verse 27 of Philippians chapter number 1. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That's your purpose in life. That word conversation means lifestyle. Paul is saying to this church, he says, listen, I'm in prison. Things aren't going great, but you know what? Let your lifestyle becometh the gospel. The gospel is our purpose. He goes on. And whether I come to see you or else I be absent, whether I'm here or not, church, whether things are going well or not, may I hear of your affairs that you stand fast in one spirit and with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Do you know what this world needs more than anything? Is a church that will stand for the faith of the gospel. For the gospel. Hey, there's churches today, they're happy to have online services. They're happy. No work. All over the country. I've seen many churches advertising for new positions on churches just being online, just stay at home. Churches across this country are giving up soul winning, and they're giving. By the way, our soul winning is kicking off on July the 11th. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. We're going back out. We're doing what we can. Churches are backing up on that stuff. Listen, if there's a purpose for the church, I said, if there's a purpose for the church, it's to reach the lost sinner with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If there's a purpose for the Christian, I said, if there's a purpose for the Christian, it's to reach the lost with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our purpose. I thought I'd get more amens out of that, but all right. It's our purpose. The gospel is our purpose. More than ever, Christians are being distracted by the tinsel and glitter of this world. The temporary pleasures have robbed many Christians of their true joy and happiness found in serving the Lord. The gospel is our purpose. The gospel is our purpose. The gospel is our purpose. Would you say that with me? The gospel is our purpose. Keep going. The gospel is our purpose. The gospel is our purpose. Hey, keep going. The gospel is our purpose. The gospel is our purpose. The gospel is our purpose. Listen, our purpose is not to serve some company. Our purpose is not to build some big house. Our purpose is the gospel. Amen.
Amen.
That's our purpose. That's why God saved us.
That's right.
Left us here, making money, building houses, getting promoted, driving a new car, wearing nice clothes, taking vacations, having friends. These are all wonderful gifts, by the way, the Lord allows us to enjoy. But these things, even though they're good and they're not wrong, these things will quickly distract us from our purpose, the gospel. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. How many of you have ever been baptized? Have you been baptized? What is baptism? It's a symbol that we have died with Christ, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Romans chapter number 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, listen, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service. Oh, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect what? Will of God. God has a purpose. He has a will for your life. Paul says it best, Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. For me is not to live for Starbucks. For me is not to live for Walmart, wherever you work. For me to live is Christ. I said, for me to live is Christ. Purpose is present in any place. If you find your purpose in Christ, you can be happy in any place. I meet Christians all the time. They're miserable. It doesn't matter. They could be sitting in front of a 75-inch TV, 4K HD, with a bag of popcorn and a Mountain Dew, watching their favorite show, and they're mad about something. You know why they're mad? Because they've given up on their purpose. Say, Pastor, I didn't come to church today to be convicted. Sorry. I'm convicted. Don't be a miserable Christian. Live your purpose. Say, Pastor, I don't know what my purpose is. Your purpose is the gospel. See, what does that mean? That means share the gospel with a neighbor, with a coworker. We'll get into more of that in a moment. I'm just saying, find your purpose. Find your purpose. Purpose is any place. Purpose is present in any place. Lastly today, and I'll close with this thought. Our purpose is our profession, not our profession. See, what does that mean? Look at verse 27 again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. You stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. My last thought, not just for today, but for this entire series. Paul says, let your conversation, that's your lifestyle, becometh the gospel. In other words, your lifestyle should be in agreement with the gospel. In other words, what he's saying is, if you look up the word becometh in Webster's 1828 dictionary, the word becometh means to be suited for. In other words, does my life suit the gospel? Does my life allow the gospel to go forward, or am I dragging the gospel back? I don't know why you got saved today. I got saved for a couple reasons. Number one is because I was afraid of hell. Because an old leather-lung preacher got up and said, hell's eternal. Did I lose some of you? Are you still there with me? Hell's eternal. Burning forever. The worm dieth not. Eternal separation from God. No hope. No hope. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's outer darkness. You're not going to go to hell and crack open a beer with one of your friends. You're going to go to hell and it's going to be a constant feeling of falling and burning. And last time I checked, hell is real. And last time I checked, hell is eternal. And last time I checked, while churches are checking out and Christians are checking out, people are still dying and going to hell.
Amen.
Last time I checked. I got saved because of that. I also got saved because of grace. Because even though I was a sinner, he loved me.
Amen.
And even though I was the biggest hypocrite of them all, he still let me get saved. I don't know why you got saved, but those are the reasons why I got saved. And so when I look back and I think about the fact that there's a hell and I was going there, And I look back and I think about, there's grace and God saved me no matter what I do. You know what I say to myself? I will spend my life serving Him. Amen. Telling others about Christ. It's my purpose. My profession is not my profession. I mean, my profession is not my purpose, and my purpose is my profession. My last thought for you today is this. Is your life suited for the gospel? Is your life in agreement with the gospel? You say, Pastor, I'm a plumber. I'm not a pastor, I'm a plumber. You could be the best gospel preaching plumber out there, man. And all God's people said?
Amen.
When we were in Wisconsin, he was in Bible college in your 40s. Bible college, he was working tile, setting tile during the day, going to school at night. He tells the story better than I do, but one day he's on a job site and the contractor, the general contractor, was walking around, big tall guy with red hair, cussing and screaming and just throwing a fit. And my dad tells it he was up in the bathroom hiding with the door shut, hoping the guy would leave him alone. The guy comes in, opens the door, and started yelling at you. Is that right? Started cussing at you. What was his name? Jim Davison. He throws open the door, starts cussing at my dad. And my dad just looked at him and said, please don't cuss at me. I don't know how long it took you, Dad, but he led him to the Lord. Tile setter. You weren't a preacher that day. He wasn't a pastor that day. He was just sitting on some plywood, and a guy came in and started screaming at him. And my dad just took the time to win that. That man's an evangelist.
Amen.
He went on to win many people to the Lord. For Rock of Ages prison ministry. All I'm saying is this. You might be a plumber, but you can still live for the gospel. You say, Pastor, I'm not a missionary. I'm a medical professional. I'm not a staff member, I'm a secretary. Listen, your profession is not your purpose. Your purpose is your profession. You say, what are you trying to say? Your purpose is not defined by how you make money. Your purpose is not defined by your business or stature in life. Your purpose is defined by your profession in Christ.
Amen.
A profession means an open declaration, a public avowal, or an acknowledgement of one's sentiments or belief. You're not ashamed to be an American. You're not ashamed. By the way, I'm not. Amen. All God's people said, I'm not ashamed to be a man either. I'm not ashamed to carry a gun and all these other things. I'm not carrying one right now, but I'm not ashamed of all these things. But listen, I'm certainly not ashamed to be a Christian.
Amen.
That's my profession.
Yes,
I profess Christ.
Amen.
In my life. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to be bombastic. Take your Bibles. I'm almost done. Go to Matthew chapter number 5. I don't know. I'm just thinking, Brother Ehrlich, I'm just thinking in and out today. I'm really thinking about it. My stomach is growling. I had a frozen burrito for breakfast. It just didn't do the trick. Amen. And I burned through that burrito in the first service. Amen. Look at this. Matthew chapter number 5. Oh, this is so encouraging. Maybe you felt convicted. By the way, I'm with you. But look at what this says. Jesus is talking, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 14. You are the what? You're the light. Are you listening today? You are the light. You. You say, Pastor, you're the light. No, I'm not. I am, but so are you. We're the light of the world. Jesus goes on. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You don't have to be a Billy Sunday to shed some light. You don't have to be a Brother Asprelli or some other pastor, some other staff member, some missionary, some bombastic preacher. You don't have to do that to shed light. What America needs, what Manteca needs, what Stockton definitely needs, what our area needs and our towns and cities needs are Christians that are shiny.
Amen.
And just shine the light. Shine the light. We don't need more grumpy Christians. Sorry, don't apply. We don't need angry Christians. We don't need cantankerous Christians that cuss out people and tell dirty jokes. And we don't need Christians who hide their Christianity. We don't need Christians who are mean and rude and treat people badly. What we need is Christians who are shiny, who show other people that Christ has made a difference in our lives. And that this is something that you want for your life is Christ. That's what we need. Christians that are the light to the world. Do people at your work know that you're a Christian? Do your neighbors know that you're a Christian? Do your friends on Facebook and so on and so forth, do they see the light in you? You can't You can't shine the light drinking with the guys at the office. You can't shine the light doing that kind of stuff. John 12:32 says this, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." You say, what is a light supposed to do? Just lift up Christ. Maybe you're standing in the break room one day, and your coworker says to you, "Man, can you believe what's going on in this country? It's crazy." Maybe you just say to them, "You know what? You're right, it is, but there's peace in Christ." "Yeah, well, if they would just blah, blah." No. "Yeah, you know, you're right, and, you know, there's peace in Christ." Maybe you're having a conversation with your mailman. He says to you, he says, "Man, you know, it seems like you guys are, you know, always whatever." "Yeah, you're right, we're busy, but we sure love our church. You go to church anywhere? We'd love to invite you to our church." Maybe the Starbucks barista gets your coffee wrong, and instead of pulling up to the drive-thru, says, "I paid $6 for this, you better get it right this time." Or instead of doing that, just pull up to the drive-thru and say, "You know what, this drink, can I have it remade? Thank you so much, you guys are doing such a good job in there. Hey, do you go to church anywhere?" Be a light. Somebody takes your parking stall. Well, that's okay. You can do whatever you want there. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing. Well, be a light. Be a light. I'm going to close. The story is told of a cheerful old man who didn't like to ask people boring questions. He wouldn't ask things like, "What do you do for a living?" Instead, he would ask this question. "What have you done in your life that you believe in? What have you done in your life that you are proud of?" For many, this is an unsettling question, especially for us or those who have built their life on possessions and prominence and position. Someone asked the old man one day, "Why do you choose to ask people this question?" Here's what he said. "I don't really care what their answer is. I just want to put the thought into their mind." So today, here's the question. Does your life agree with the gospel? Is your life suited for the gospel? It doesn't really matter what our answer is. I just want to put it in your mind today. Let's pray together.